I must apologise in the rush to get started. I didn't greet you all and wish you a happy Easter, or Veselé Velikonoce, as I should say in Czech. In fact, I received Easter greetings in three languages by text message this morning from my wife, who's walking in Spain, in Spanish, German, and English. I replied by thanking her in Welsh, the one language she doesn't have. If you want to know, it's Pasca, Hapus, in Welsh. There you go. Normally fairly near the beginning of each week, I look at the biblical readings set for the coming Sunday, reflect upon them, and then begin to think about what I'm going to preach. And if I'm well organized, and those who know me will know that's a very big if, the sermon is complete and ready by Friday. But of course, this past week has been Holy Week. We've had extra services here. I've been busy printing extra orders of service and the like, not knowing quite how many people will be here this morning. There's less of you than last year, because I think it's the clocks, of course. Even so, all sorts of things to do. And for me, it's also very important to use Holy Week to enter into all that happened from Palm Sunday, we celebrated here last Sunday, until this morning. All that Jesus experienced in his journey to Jerusalem. His triumphal entry, his teaching in the temple, the Last Supper, the washing of the disciples' feet, his betrayal, arrest, various put-up trials, and crucifixion. The Gospel writers regard the events of Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and Easter as highly significant. As I said on Maundy Thursday evening here, one third of Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel is given over to those events, Palm Sunday to Easter, and nearly half of John is given to describing them. And therefore, as in previous years, I don't feel able to sit down and write my Easter Day sermon until I've conducted worship on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, have read or heard read chapters 18 and 19 of John's Gospel, which immediately precede today's Gospel reading, to put both the passage and what I shall say in the sermon into the right context. A big thank you to all of you who've joined me in this journey through Holy Week. I have to say that on Maundy Thursday, and particularly Good Friday, we had the best attendance at those services that I can remember during my time here. But thus, this sermon was started on the morning of Holy Saturday, yesterday. Our Gospel passage describes the events of the first Easter day, after the dead body of Jesus had been taken down from the cross and laid in a nearby empty tomb. Events described at the end of the previous chapter to our Gospel reading, chapter 19 of John's Gospel, which I read standing here at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon. Some of you who know me well will remember 2 years ago on Good Friday, I managed to miss out the last reading and didn't lay Jesus in the tomb. We did so correctly this year. All four of the Gospels have accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. There are variations and differences. Certain resurrection stories are peculiar to one particular Gospel. But all of them are agreed on two things. One is that the tomb was empty with the stone rolled to one side, and the second was that the first appearance was to Mary Magdalene, and in some of the Gospel accounts, Luke in particular, to other women with her. To our 21st century eyes, this second aspect of the story, first appearance to a woman or a group of women, is no problem. But we are talking about first century Judaism, a point I've made on previous Easter days, I know. But under Jewish law, the evidence of a woman was only acceptable in a Jewish court of law if it could be corroborated by a man. Sorry, horribly sexist, ladies, but that is the truth. Therefore, if you were inventing the story of the resurrection of Jesus, as of course critics would argue the early Christians did, then a first appearance to a woman or women only isn't the story that you would invent. In fact, it's quite the last thing that you would invent. So by that reverse logic, it confirms to me the truth of the gospel accounts. They tell us what actually happened. Mary Magdalene met the risen Jesus. She was the first to say, "I have seen the Lord," as we had at the end of our gospel reading today. You read on in John chapter 20, and I invite you all to come here next Sunday, and we'll do exactly that and worship with us. And you'll hear of appearances to others that occur in the second half of John chapter 20. So therefore, the gospel passage for today does allow me to say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," and you will all respond, didn't sound as sure as he did earlier in the service. This is an interactive sermon. You've got to join in. Briefly to the other two passages that we had read this morning. Both, interestingly, were written down before the Gospel of John was written down, most scholars believe. The passage from 1 Corinthians 15 is a great chapter all about resurrection. I'm sure Stephen, who read it, would be pleased to know he wasn't asked to read the whole chapter because there's 58 verses in it. But words from that reading, "For this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied," or an older translation, "most miserable," as it's put. In other words, St. Paul is saying in that reading that Christ's resurrection is central to our faith. It's not just for this life. And of course, it then follows with words, "For since death came through a human being," or those of you who know Handel's Messiah and the non-gender inclusive language, "since by man came death, resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die," and I was very tempted to start singing the solo, but I'll stop doing so, "so in Christ shall all be made alive." That is the Christian hope and truth central to our faith that we celebrate today. And then our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles is Peter preaching to the house of Cornelius. And he tells that group of people for the first time all about what Jesus did and taught. And you have the essence of faith again. They put him, Jesus, to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. The early disciples preached Jesus and the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians reading is a reminder to Christians of the centrality of Christ's resurrection to our faith. And the reading from Acts is a challenge to first hearers and to any of you who've just come to church this morning with others this morning, not really sure about Christian faith, challenge to you here today to respond to what God in Christ has done, to believe on Jesus, what he did for us on the cross, and that he has triumphed over death. I promise not to preach too long this morning, so I will come to a conclusion. We go just over the next page. We celebrate this morning that the tomb was empty. The risen Christ was seen by many witnesses, the first of them female, and then by others of both genders. We remind ourselves of the centrality of Christ's resurrection to our declared faith. And yes, we proclaim, call upon the uncommitted to repent, to respond, and to believe in the risen Jesus. I hope you're a bit more awake this time. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Well, I'll have it on either end. Actually, we only have it on the one end, but lovely. Thank you very much indeed. There's a couple of alleluia at the end of the service as well.